18 minutes past 7 on Wednesday night's Arena. Here's a blast from the past.
Keep your kitchen clean. Save on your LSD. The cheap, cheap is way for you to cook. Electricity.
And a Donegal listener wants to know just how stiffly should egg whites be beaten for a sponge cake? The eggs should be beaten until they stand up well in peaks and keep their shape when the beater is lifted, but not until they're dry. I think you'll get more air into them if you beat them on a large dish or platter with a flat wire egg beater. While slower than an electric beater, hand beating does incorporate more air. And to make sure all the air remains in the whites to make your sponge cake as light as the proverbial feather, fold them very, very gently into the mixture.
The novelist, playwright and broadcaster Maura Laverty, a true trailblazer achieving a number of firsts in her life, writer and originator of Ireland's first television soap opera, Tolka Row, Ireland's first celebrity chef with a string of successful cookery books to her name, and she was Ireland's first agony aunt on the ESB radio show, which she presented for three decades, dishing out advice from everything from how to properly mind your husband, or as we just heard, how stiffly eggs should be beaten when you're making a sponge cake. I think that was what she was making. At any rate, actor and playwright Barbara Keeve is with me in studio now ahead of the opening of her new play, Maura Laverty, This Was Your Life. And Barbara co-wrote the play and indeed stars in it as well. For the uninitiated who haven't heard the voice of Maura Laverty before, who are we talking about, Barbara?
Okay, well, I first heard of Maura Laverty when I was a child because my mother used to use her most famous cookbook. Like, she wrote 5 cookbooks, but the most famous one is called Full and Plenty. And what makes it a bit different from other cookbooks is it's full of little stories. So each section starts with a story. And I absolutely loved them when I was a child.
What kind of stories are we talking about?
Well, you'd have stories about, say, if there was a section about bread, you'd have a story about a wonderful, you know, a woman who was wonderful at making soda bread. Mm. And her son started dating somebody who was a home economics teacher. And the poor mother was terrified to invite her to tea because she was great at baking bread, but she wasn't very good at making cakes. So this neighbour, the nosy neighbour, came in, the Raven, as she was known in the area, and helped her out because she was dying to see her embarrassed in front of this girl. So the girl tasted the soda bread and she thought it was just divine. And they lived happily ever after. But I mean, I'm being a bit facetious because her stories aren't always as simple as that.
There's a little twist or a little darkness in them, I guess, which is here in the play as well.
Absolutely. And what most people don't realise, and I didn't realise because I was so busy sort of watching my mum bake and learning from her, baking from those cookbooks. But she wrote 4 novels and 3 of them were banned because of their sexual content and because of their anti-clericalism. So that's a side that people didn't know very much about Maura, you know. She was quite a lady, you know. She went off to Spain when she was 17. And in some ways, I think that was the making of her. She was there for 4 years. So she experienced all sorts of new things there. New attitudes to food, new attitudes to socialising. Like, she went over as a governess. And that she was sacked twice for doing shocking things like wearing a scarlet swimsuit, you know, and going out with boys and, you know, smoking. Can you believe that?
So
smoking.
The way that you decide to tell her story is literally, as you're doing to me now, almost getting her life told to us. But it's told in the form of This Was Your Life. And again, those of a certain vintage will remember This Is Your Life, Eamon Andrews, and was it, I can't remember who took it, Nicholas Parsons,
Michael Aspel took it over afterwards. Yeah, and there was Ralph Edwards was the original in America. But you see, This Is Your Life was very different because the broadcasting style then was you brought somebody on and you celebrated their life and you brought on their family and their friends and their colleagues and everybody said, oh, Sean was fantastic. And do you remember this high point of his life and that high point? But This Was Your Life. What we're sort of interested in here is the way broadcasting has changed. And you have the Jeremy Kyles now. And You have the people who just want to make somebody cry because their TAM ratings go up, or they want to find out the bit of dirt on somebody or the scandal or the darker stories. Mm. So what we were thinking would be really interesting to do is, Maura herself was a broadcaster, as you said. She was like nearly 30 years working here in RTE, advising people on relationships and cookery problems. And I suppose in those days, broadcasting and being a presenter, it was all about supporting the person. Do you know what I mean? You weren't actually out to get them. Whereas
I
it's
hope
become.
It hasn't changed too much.
Well, no, but obviously you haven't shown, but people like Jeremy Kyle, that would not be his agenda.
No, it wouldn't be his agenda.
Do you know what I mean? Or a lot of reality TV shows. And even cookery shows have changed. Like Maura used to do cookery demonstrations all over the country, you know, for the ICA and for Odlums and people, you know. But she was just doing a cookery show and she was never formally taught herself. And she was passing on traditional recipes and international recipes that she'd learned. But it wasn't about winning. It wasn't about beating somebody else and being better than some other chef. So it was kind of a different era.
So in some ways, it's what's happening to her in this show, which is playing out in front of us on stage, is that she's expecting, oh, they're going to celebrate my life in some ways. Well, and she finds out, no, they're just looking to find all the dark recesses and dark corners. Were there lots of dark recesses and corners?
There were dark recesses. She had a very passionate life. She had a lot of triumphs and she had a lot of heartache in her life.
And there's a kind of an irony in Full and Plenty, the title of the book, because she didn't come from Full and Plenty.
Well, she did initially, because she came from Rathangan in County Kildare, and her family had a drapery shop and they were doing very well. Her mother was a really good dressmaker, but the father was drinking and gambling, and he drank and gambled away the family business. So there was a big change in their, I suppose, in their circumstances. And I found some amazing material in the National Library. I found 10 boxes of uncatalogued material there. And among those, I found out that she'd been sent to Dublin to live with a childless couple because, you know, the father died, the mother had 9 children to bring up on her, you know, as a dressmaker. So she was sent off. And for the first time, she experienced hunger because she would have been here in Dublin during 1916 and 1917. Really interesting time to be in Dublin, you know.
You recorded a clip for us just before we went to air this evening. It's playing the part of the interviewer, and you think he plays other roles as well in the midst of all
this? Yes, Pat Ryan. Yeah. Pat Ryan is the interviewer, and it's directed by Joan Sheehy. And Pat Ryan plays the compere, who is, as I say, who's kind of morally ambiguous character.
And what context do we need for the clip here?
Okay, well, she comes on. Well, she arrives and she thinks she's there to talk about her life, but he turns the tables on her and he gets her to cook. And she's there all dolled up in her Sybil Connolly suit. And he tells her, you're now going to cook. She doesn't know what ingredients she has and he just hands her an apron.
All right, well, let's have a listen to how that all pans out.
Friends, today I'd like you to come with me to a street in County Meath. A listener called Betty writes to say, Dear Mrs. Laverty, I'm getting married in the month of June and I'm planning to make my own wedding dress. I may add that I'm on the plump side and I'm hoping you can advise me on which style might suit me best. Well, Betty, my mother used to always say, a loose-fitting garment is the fat girl's friend. But I think an empire-style dress with long, graceful lines is flattering to all brides, whether plump or thin. Betty also says in her letter, I intend to make my own wedding cake, a 3-tiered fruit cake with royal icing, and I'd appreciate any tips you might have about how to keep it moist. Well, Betty, the answer is alcohol. The night before you bake your cake, soak the fruit in a cup of brandy. And after it's baked, pierce it with a knitting needle and feed it another good dollop of brandy. And I promise you, your cake will be delicious.
So let's all wish Fat Betty a marriage as sweet and fruitful as the cake. Now, what are you going to cook for us tonight, Maura?
What? I'm not here to cook.
No, oh, yes, you are. We've had hundreds of tweets and texts from people who are dying to see you cook. Laura from Ennis has her mother's copy of Full and Plenty. She says the recipes are a bit old-fashioned. Don't be expecting avocado toast. Lol.
Why don't you ask me about my novels?
The audience won't have read them, Maura. Most of them were banned here as indecent and obscene. No, right now we want to see you cook, don't we, ladies and gentlemen?
But I'm not dressed for cooking. This is a Sybil Connolly suit.
We've thought of everything. Put this apron on. Over to you, Maura. Chop, chop.
Of course he's thought of everything. Pat Ryan there as the host of This Was Your Life in the play Maura Laverty, This Was Your Life. And you also heard the voice there of Barbara McCreevy, who's the co-writer and starring in the play. And it was you that we heard there, Barbara. You were saying to me as we were listening to that, one of the things, and I said in the introduction, she wrote plays and she wrote Talca Row, but she saved the Gate Theatre financially.
She absolutely did. And it's very interesting how she came to write the first play for them. One of her banned novels was called Lift Up Your Gates. And Hilton Edwards and Micheál MacLiamore read it. And they came to her and said, I think we can find a way around the censors. If we change the title of this and put it on as a play, should those censors don't go to plays at all? It wouldn't be safe enough. So they did that. And she literally did. They were in serious financial trouble, 1951, 1952. And her three plays kept the Gate afloat. So she really did them a lot of favours. I wasn't paid properly for it, I may add.
For sure.
Yeah.
Why did you want to celebrate her life? I mean, she sounds like an incredible woman. What was it specifically that sent you to make this play, I guess?
Well, I suppose it started off with the fact that I had the personal link to it because, you know, of my own childhood. But then when I started looking into it, I thought, this woman has been dead since, you know, 1966 and everybody's forgotten her. And she's so remarkable. She did so many things in her life. And why is she forgotten? And does she deserve to be remembered? And obviously,
the answer
I think
you
she
came
does.
Up with was she yeah. quite definitely does.
Yeah.
And if you want to be part of that remembering, the play is called Maura Laverty, This Is Your Life, written by Yvonne Quinn and Barbara McCreevy, who's with me in studio here this evening. Pat Ryan will be on stage with Barbara at the Viking Theatre in Clontarf from the 2nd to the 14th of September, every evening at 8 p.m. And you can find out full information on vikingtheatredublin.com.